kids head out for children's church, and let's bless them as they go. Amen? Amen. You may be seated, and turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Special thanks to Tom and Lorena and the worship team leading us in praise and worship this morning. Amen. As you're turning in your Bible to John chapter 15, also there is in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the message. If you find that helpful to follow along with or doodle on or make pictures of Pastor Tom. Haven't had any of those lately. I have a collection, you know. I collect every one of them. Still have them. Every once in a while, I pull them out and look at them and laugh. It just cracks me up. Cracks me up. We're going to read from John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 17. Let me read it for us. It's a lengthy passage, but let me read it for us as we get into God's Word together. This is Jesus speaking, red letter edition. And Jesus says these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Can we have just a moment of quiet, of silence, and then prayer? Father, we bow before your word. We submit our hearts and our spirits to your word. Speak to us now and give us hearts that want to obey you and indeed do obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last year in the warm season approaching, we bought one of those hanging tomato plants. Anybody ever buy one of those things? I like the idea that it was hanging because every time I put anything into the ground, I have a black thumb. And it just kills everything. So we put some grass seed down this year. and the birds came and ate it. It's gone. We have really nice weeds, though. I haven't talked about my weeds in my yard. We have the best weeds in the yard. So we bought this tomato plant, and I was excited because I love, you know, fresh-grown tomatoes. Who doesn't love those? Make a mater sandwich. My goodness. And so we got this thing, and so I started looking for tomatoes on it, you know, second day. Well, the days went by, and I keep looking for the fruit. I keep looking for the tomatoes, and there's nothing. There's some flowers, but there's no tomatoes, no fruit. And so a few more days go by, and I'm looking. Nothing yet. So another few days goes by, and I'm looking, and this time I kind of lift up some of the branches, and there's these tiny little tomatoes. Green. They're not big, but it was a start. So a few more days go by, and they grow a little bit bigger in a few more days, and they start to turn red. And finally, it seemed like ages, we had some little tomatoes on there. So, you know, the tomatoes were good. We really needed like five or six of those plants because, you know, they eventually grow larger, but they're not very big on a plant like that. And I was kind of pleased that I didn't kill the plant. I left it alone, but I just looked. The Lord Jesus does the same in our lives. He comes, we're told, and he's looking for fruit in your life, in my life. So let me ask, are you bearing fruit? Is there some fruit in your life? Let's talk about it together. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Jesus is looking for fruit. Good fruit, lasting fruit in our lives. And we will bear good, lasting fruit. We're told here by Jesus, if we abide, if we remain in him, we will bear fruit. And so that's really the main message of the main point of this message is that Jesus is looking for fruit in us. And he's looking for the fruit specifically. Watch this. He's looking for the fruit of love, obedience to his commands, and reaching out to others, loving others, reaching out to them. The illustration, this analogy that he's giving of the fruit of the vine, it, you know, him being the vine and we're the branches, this illustration is really a little more clear. It's a little closer to the spiritual reality than, say, the parable of the sheep and the goats, the sheep and the shepherd. Because you have here the fact that the branch must stay connected to the vine. The branch must stay connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. As with the parable of the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the sheep, they're somewhat separate. But Jesus makes it clear here that unless we are connected to the vine, we are not going to bear fruit. We must stay connected to the vine. So it's a very good spiritual picture here that Jesus is using, that we must stay connected to him. So at the outset, let me say this. Look at verse 16. We read it just a moment ago. And Jesus says this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Back behind all of this is the fact that Jesus chooses us. He calls us. Now, we're told in John chapter 15 that when he sends the Holy Spirit on the earth is going to draw all people to himself. That's God's desire. He's going to draw all people to himself. In other words, God's desire, God's will is that all people come to him to a knowledge of the truth, to repentance from unbelief, and that we know our Heavenly Father through the Savior Jesus Christ. That's God's desire. But he wants us to know here that you and I, if we know Christ, if we know Jesus Christ, we have not chosen him. Do not think that this is an effort on your part that somehow you must be successful at in the sense of knowing God. We just sang that song, "He is a good, good Father." He is perfect in all of his ways. And guess what? He is perfect in knowing you and me. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. Everything. You see, as humans, we have this ability to put up a front, put up a facade. We project ourselves a certain way. And listen, we all do this. Please don't think I'm picking on you. Most of the time I have people come up to me after the service and they'll say, "You were talking about me, weren't you?" Well, if the Holy Spirit is bringing it to you, okay. But I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Many of you, I didn't even know you were going to be here today. And if you are here, welcome. I'm glad you're here. But God's desire is He wants to know us. And you see, we have this sense that, you know, God doesn't really know everything about me. I keep some things hidden from God. No, you don't. God knows us perfectly. He knows everything about us by His Spirit. And here's the thing that Jesus wants us to know, that we must remain connected to Him to bear lasting fruit. Jesus says, "I've chosen you to go and bear lasting fruit." Now, the fruit here that He's speaking of is more than just the fruit of the Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Yes, we are to have those things in our life, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we will bear that as we remain connected to Jesus. But I think here He's speaking even further than that. I think He's speaking here of fruit that is born out of true repentance. He tells us that in Matthew 3:8, John the Baptist preached it. He says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In Acts 26, verse 20, Paul preaches these words, "I have preached to all people that they should repent, turn to God, and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." This is our good fruit. So it is the fruit of the Spirit being born forth in our life, but it's more than that. You see, a lot of times we think about our relationship with Christ, that it's just me and Jesus. It's all about me, and it's all about Jesus and me, and yeah, we're good. Jesus, me and you. Well, it's more than that, because He's placed us on the vine with all the other branches. You and I are branches. And us branches got to get along. Us branches were told by Jesus over and over again to love one another. Love one another. Now, you and I can't do that unless we're connected. You and I can't do that unless that sap of the Spirit is flowing forth from the vine into us. This is a great example, because if you know anything about vines or even trees, bushes and shrubs and so on and so forth, the sap has to flow from the trunk or the main vine into the branches. The branch in and of itself cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine or the trunk. Can't do it, because the life-giving sap has to flow. And I believe maybe they call it at the end of the branch is the aperture that allows the sap to flow into it. You and I have to keep the aperture open. You and I have to keep the flow going. You can't do that unless you're connected to Christ. These are not my words. Jesus said it right here, did He not? You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in Me. Well, let's talk about it. The background on this is from Jeremiah 2:21, where God has called His people, at the time it is the Jewish people, and He has called His people a vine. He says, "I've called you. I have planted you as a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine?" God had wanted Israel to be a flourishing vine, to bringing forth good fruit, a flourishing vine, bringing forth good fruit. That's what God wanted of His people. God wanted them to be a people that would bear fruit, not just for themselves, but for all nations around them. "I'm calling you," He tells us in Genesis chapter 12, "I'm calling you to be a great nation, and through you, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. That was God's plan from the beginning. That's how he's worked it out for us who are in the Messiah Jesus, grafted into the vine. Amen? So Israel, the vine of God, had become corrupt and it was bearing bad fruit. So God cut off the vine. And he has replaced the vine with the true vine, as Jesus says, I am the true vine. The Messiah, Jesus, the one who was prophesied to come, comes forth as the true vine. And he says, and you are the branches. My Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. And he prunes and cleans us. Let's look at that together. As we set this up, we see that God has made his Son, the Messiah Jesus, the true vine, and made us to be the branches. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Stop there. So as we read these words, verse 2, it says that he cuts off. Some of the translations write, or takes away. Every branch in me that bears no fruit. There's an alternate translation that says this, because the word can also mean, the verb here can also mean, he lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, what's the difference? Well, the translation of that verb makes a huge difference. The first one is that either it is the pruning process of dead branches. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So that would be the pruning process of dead branches. And that would be referring to false believers. Jesus gave many parables about the fact that there are true believers and there are false believers. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about the sheep and the goats. The goats represent false believers, and the sheep represent true believers, and he separates them. We also know in Matthew chapter 7, he gives these words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will be saved, but only those of you who do the will of my Father in heaven. Now, understand that that is not a performance of salvation, because it's all about remaining in the vine. It's not about trying to produce good works on our own, and I hope we'll see that in just a couple of minutes. So if it means that he cuts off every branch in me that bears new fruit, he's referring here to false believers. Those who claim to be followers of Christ, but are not. And we're told by the Apostle Peter, he says, examine yourself. He doesn't say go around judging other people, their salvation. Now, we can be pruning inspectors. Okay? You know, sometimes Pastor Tom inspects your fruit. Right? Pastor Tom, get in your face a little bit. Right, brothers? You check out your fruit, see if your fruit's rotten or if there's no fruit. And then the challenge will come. As Peter says, examine yourself to see if you are truly in the faith. And this is, you know, don't blame the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Listen, I'm giving you the message from the Word of God, and it says, examine yourself. The last thing you want to do is get to the end of your life, whether it's a long time or it's cut short by some reason, and you have not examined yourself to see if you're in the faith. We just did a funeral a week and a half ago for Calvert Thompson. And his was a life that was well lived. His was a life where he was depending on his Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know what? I've done many funerals, and you know what? I can't say anything about the person because I don't really know. I don't know if they've lived a good life. And so I can't preach to the dead. I preach to the living. And all I can say to us is examine yourself. Make sure that you're truly a branch and make sure you're abiding in the vine. That's the first translation. The second translation, he says, if it is these words in the verb, he lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. This would be the healing process that the vineyard dresser uses, where if a branch is hanging down into the dirt, it's not going to produce any fruit. And so he lifts up that branch and ties it off. Sometimes he'll snip some of it off. Ouch! That hurts. You ever have the Lord snip some things off of you? It's not pleasant. But he knows what's best for you and for me. And sometimes he'll snip some things off of you. Some of us here need some things snipped off of us. And he does that because he loves us. He wants us to produce good and lasting fruit. Well, you might ask, well, who would be an example of a false believer that was with Christ, in Christ, at the time? Judas! Judas was a false believer. And he was cut off from the vine. There are examples in Scripture of other false believers. But there are also examples of us being pruned, being lifted up. The whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 12 is about his discipline of us because he loves us and he wants the best for us. So he disciplines us. Now, we move forward on that. Verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Amen. Can you say amen? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What's the implication there? That you have believed his word. You've believed the word of Jesus. And he says, because you believe my word, because you've received my word, you are already clean. You are already clean. And so we rejoice that for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ and are his followers, his word of truth to us has made us clean. And so, understand that we are not performing to somehow make ourselves acceptable to God. No. We are already acceptable. We are already clean because of the word that Jesus has spoken, and we have believed his word. You have to settle that. You have to understand that. I'm not clean by my performance. I'm not clean by the things that I do. Some of you have said, I've had one person say specifically to me, oh, you know, God can never forgive me. I've just done too much. That's a lie. That's a lie. First of all, you're saying that God can't forgive you when he says, I will forgive all sins except for the sin of rejecting his son. I will forgive you all sins. So if you say these words, well, God can't forgive me, you're contradicting God. Stop it. Don't do that. And the second thing, and let's be honest here, when I've heard people say that, and, well, you know, I've just done too much, and God really can't forgive me. There's an element of pride in that, isn't there? There's an element, well, you know me, I'm just too much of a sinner. Stop it. Get over yourself. None of us are beyond the reach of the grace of Christ. All of us can be saved if we will turn to God and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Then he moves forward. He says, verse 4, he repeats it again. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. And then he says these words, no branch can bear fruit by itself. There it is. You cannot bear fruit by yourself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Do you see the analogy? A branch must remain in the vine or the trunk of the tree. That's how the sap flows forth and allows the fruit to be born out on the branch. So you and I must remain in Christ so that that sap, that spiritual sap, that spiritual flow continues. Now, I think there's some ways that we can keep the sap flowing. So we'll bear lasting fruit as we, number one, remain in Christ. Let's talk about that for a moment. He says, remain in me, and allow my word to remain in you. Stay connected to the true source of your life. Verse 5, he says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. You and I will be fruitful. You and I will be fruits. Fruity. Some of you are very fruity. That's not what he's talking about, though. You know, when you ever look at, there's some strange fruits, isn't there? There's some things you don't even know what they are. It's like, am I supposed to eat this? I remember the first time I opened up a pomegranate. And, you know, I'm trying to eat it, and it's like full of seeds, and it's like, this is not so good. And then somebody told me that, you know, you just have to kind of squeeze it and slurp up the juice, and man, it was good. That was good. Or how about you take a slice of a kiwi, but you don't take the skin off. You ever done that? Yeah, you'll know it. Your tongue will be swollen for a couple days. There's some weird fruit. Well, God likes variety. God likes variety. And that's why there's all the fruits and nuts in the world. Yeah. Fruits and nuts on the tree. Well, let's talk about this word remain. It also is translated in some of the older translations, abide. Abide in me. This word means to live in fully. The word abide or remain means to live in fully, as in living in a house. In other words, when you and I buy a home, we don't just come in and live in one room. I mean, you might be renovating it. But ultimately, the goal is to live in all the house, to occupy all the house, to make it your home, to live in to the fullest in the house. That's what the word abide means. So it's the sense of Christ coming into our lives and abiding in every room, in every aspect of our life. That means that we go into the back rooms and we open up all the closets. I've talked about that. You can't keep things hidden from Jesus. Because you know what he's going to do? It's like Jesus is like a little kid who finds that secret closet. And they want to know what's in there. What's in there? Why do you have this locked? I want to see what's in there. Can you picture Jesus doing that in your life and my life? He wants to know what's in these closets back here. Why you got this locked? What are you hiding? What do you want not me to see and others not to see? What's back there? Well, Jesus wants every room opened. He wants his light to shine into every place in our house. And that's what abide means. That I am living fully in Christ and he is living fully in me. Nothing hidden. Nothing locked away from the Lord. Because he wants access to all of it. It's like a branch to the vine. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing cut off. In order for that spiritual sap to flow, it must be completely abiding. So what does that mean for us? To abide in Christ means that I'm daily spending time with him. I'm daily spending time in his word. We pray every Sunday, Lord, as we come this morning, we get quiet and then we pray, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, a fresh filling. You know what? You can pray that every day. Every day. I pray that every day because guess what? I leak. I'm a crackpot. I have cracks. And I leak. So I wake up in the morning, and boy, I'm full of myself. But I want to be full of his Spirit. And so every day, I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And then take time to get into his Word, get into his presence, get into his love. As we sang that song, isn't that good to sing about God's love? Oh, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. I'm loved by you, God. That's called self-talk. And you are self-talking out of the Word. Not out of your own thoughts, because I don't know about you, but I got some crazy thoughts. I got some crazy stuff that comes into my head. And I don't know if it's coming from my old flesh, my old sinful nature, or if it's coming from the evil one. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. If it's not of Christ, I don't want it. And so every day it's like, Lord, just fill me with your Spirit because I need your Spirit in me to give me the right thoughts, to think your thoughts and not my own. And I certainly need the power to act on your Word and not my thoughts. So spending time in his love, spending time in his presence, and then asking for the power to obey him, to love that fruit that is being born in my life, to actually act on it. You know what obedience, the essence of obedience is in the Scripture? It's not a feeling. A lot of times we come to church and people say, oh, you know, that was wonderful. I really felt good. Well, that's good, that's nice, but that's not the essence of obedience. You know what the essence of obedience is? Doing it. Actually doing it. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. In James chapter 1, he says, do not merely read the word and listen to it and just be hearers of the word only, because if you do that, you're deceiving yourself, but be doers of the word. So you have to actually do it. In other words, don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. You can't do that, by the way, unless you're remaining in the vine. So this is the fruit that is born in our life as we remain in Him. We're transformed. My heart is softened. The searchlight of God's Spirit shines out all the darkness in my heart. And then I ask the Lord to change me, to transform me. I say, Lord, please have Your way in my life. He says these words, and I know we're going a little bit later today, but can you bear with me for a few minutes? Can you say amen? Preach it, Pastor Tom. All right. You said it. I'll do it. Verse 5b. Apart from me, you can do what? Ooh. Wow. That's a surprise, isn't it? Somebody over here said something. Or something else. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What does he mean by that? Now, what he doesn't mean is that you can do nothing in terms of this world we live in. You can brush your teeth. You can do that without Jesus. You probably won't have the cleanest teeth without Jesus. You know, you can take a shower. You know, these kind of, that's not what he's talking about here. And, by the way, people accomplish many, many things without Jesus. What he's talking about, that which is eternal. That which is going to remain. Because he, you know, we're told later on, he says, all of this is going to burn up. If you don't believe me, read the books of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. He says, time's coming that God is going to burn all this up. The stuff that people chase after, the stuff that people make idols out of, money, cars, vehicles, boats, all that kind of, those are fine to have those things, but if that's your life, it's burning up. We get up to heaven, God says, you know all that stuff you used to chase after? Gold, which represents money to us today. I paved the streets with it up here. I paved the streets with it. So, why would you be chasing after that when we're going to use it for tar up here? That's the truth. So read the Word and understand that our lives have to be about something that's eternal, something that's going to remain, something that's going to last. And that's what he's meaning here. Apart from me, you can do nothing of eternal value, of significance that's going to remain. Even our loved ones. You can't save anybody. You can't help, excuse me, you can't really help anybody other than encouraging them. You know, I don't have the power to make you change. I don't have the power. I could preach all day long about what God's Word is and His commands and what we need to do, how we need to repent and turn to God. I could preach that all day long, and I cannot change your heart. That's why Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. See, Jesus, if He gets a hold of you, watch out. He's going to start changing your heart. You're going to start doing things that you never believed you would do. You're going to start coming to church. You're going to start reading the Bible. You're going to start reading the Word because you want to know what Jesus says. You're going to get baptized. Even after you told Pastor Tom for 10 years you weren't going to get baptized. The Spirit of God will get you. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. He will get you. Jesus is going to send His Spirit and He will get you. And guess what? If you're stuck somewhere at a particular thing that God is talking to you about, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere until you deal with that thing in your life. The hound of heaven, the Spirit of God, is going to chase you, is going to run you down until you deal with yourself. You're not going any further. You're not going to bear any more fruit until you deal with it. You deal with yourself, whatever the issue is. That's another sermon. I better get back here. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The spiritual sap will not flow until I deal with myself and I get connected and remain connected to Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Well, we allow His Word to remain in us, and we contemplate and meditate on His Word. I was listening to the Christian radio station this week, and they shared a Bible verse from the prophet Isaiah. And I listened to it. I paused what I was doing, and I listened to that verse. I had the radio on in the background. I paused and listened to the verse, and here's the verse that they read. It comes from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "I, the Lord, say to you, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, for I am with you." I was like, wow, that is an awesome verse. I need to memorize that verse. I need to be able to say to myself, self-talk, that I do not need to be afraid because my God is with me. And He loves me. And He is upholding me. So you know what? Broke out my note card. I'm old school. Broke out my note card and I wrote it down. And I'm going to memorize this verse. I'm going to get it down. I'm going to get this word memorized so that it's a part of me. Some of you say, oh, yeah, Pastor, I just can't memorize it. I'm just no good at it. Let me ask you a question. Tell me your phone number. Some of y'all don't even know your phone number. You have to say, oh, hey, let me get my phone out. See what my phone number is. But the point is that we can memorize. And if you just take it chunk by chunk, you can memorize too. I want His Word to be a part of my life. Listen, you're not going to do that by playing Bible roulette. You know what that is? You get up in the morning, you're like, Judas went out and hung himself. Ugh, I don't like that verse. Let me find another verse. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Oh man, what's up with that? Don't play Bible roulette. Read the Bible. Start at a book, Gospel of John, one of the other Gospels, and read through it. And don't read it like a novel. It's not meant to be a novel. Read it and ask, Spirit of God, show me what this means. What does this mean? And how does it apply to my life? And how do I need to obey this? How do I need to obey this, Lord? That's how you get the Word in your heart, not by playing Bible roulette. And, you know, it's okay to use the daily bread, something like that, a little guide. That's fine. But, you know, read the Scripture in there. You know, sometimes it has a reference verse. Read it. Don't just go past it and read someone else's words about the Scripture. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. And He will, because He is. Was that a time clock or something like that? Okay. Phew, man. Everyone's a comedian. All right. I actually needed that because, you know, it's after 11:30 and I'm going to have to wrap this up. And you know what? I'll come back and finish it. Second part of the series. Now, as I come to a close here, I know some of you all say, that doesn't mean anything, right? It's like the preacher that had his watch on, and he took his watch off and he put it right here, and the little boy asked his mom, and said, Mommy, what does that mean? And she said, absolutely nothing. And it's true. I love to preach the Word. And so I'll come back to the rest of it. But number one, today, we have to remain in Christ. Abide in Him. Let His Word abide in us. And if we do that, we'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. Brendan and I are leaving for vacation tomorrow. We'll be gone for 2 weeks. Next week, Mike is going to be coming and preaching the Word. And the week after that, Roger will be back and preaching the Word. So I know you'll be in good hands. As we're gone, my encouragement to you, my counsel to you, is if you have a problem, do not call me. One of my elders said to me this morning, Pastor Tom, you know, it's the first thing you need to do tomorrow, right? I said, turn your phone off. Absolutely. So if you have a problem, call Mike, Call Roger. Call Dean. You're still an elder, even though you're not serving this year. We got you on that. You can even call Joe Smith. Yeah. He's an elder emeritus. Or emeritus, something like that. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the beauty and the simplicity of your word. You tell us that we are to abide in Christ. And he is abiding in us. And Lord, that's such a beautiful picture. We can't do this on our own. We have to just stay connected to the true vine, Jesus. And when we do that, we will have such beautiful fruit born in our lives. Lord, you change us. You transform us. Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Thank you for that reality that comes through your power. The power of a risen, resurrected Christ that no one else can bring about in our lives. Father, I just pray for each one of us here that we will make a fresh commitment today to get connected and stay connected, to remain in you. Help us, Lord. You know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Give us the power to overcome our flesh, because we know the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, and He will overcome, and He will give life to our mortal bodies. Thank you for that promise. I pray for each one here, Lord. I pray for those that are here struggling, that maybe they're on a journey, and some of this is new, or I've never heard this before. But Lord, I thank you that you are the one that chooses, you are the one that draws. So I ask that by your Spirit, you will do your work and draw people to yourself. If that's you, if you sense the Lord drawing you, I encourage you, reach out to Him. Open your heart. You may not even understand all of it, but if you take a step towards Jesus, He comes running to you. Thank you, Father, that you're doing your good work. Because you are our good, good Father. I pray over your people. I bless them today. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people of God said,